Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world. Today's quote is read by actor and voiceover talent Greg Sipes.
Star Trek said, "It's not all over. The human adventure is just beginning." And that's a very important statement for people. God bless you.
Welcome back to the podcast, Quoting Gene Roddenberry. And we are lucky enough to have number one New York Times bestselling author Scott Sigler for this episode. Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Scott, let's throw it to you right away. What are your thoughts on this particular quote? And I was saying, Scott got a whole bunch of optimistic quotes this week. Because we've done ones that are a little darker or weirder or heavier, haven't we? It's going to be great.
You know, you only have to look around the internet today to see something that's been an echo of things from the past, that the constant thought that these are the worst of times. Mm. Things were so much better back when. It's not like it used to be. Oh my God, kids today don't appreciate all the things they have. You know, things were great when we were around, and now this other thing. And that, you know, perpetually is never the case. Humanity always seems to be expanding, even though there's very difficult times in particular places. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the one basic fact, there are more people alive today than have ever been on Earth than there have ever been alive at one point in the past ever, which means if the population level is going up, things are by and large, improving at least enough for people to stay alive, yep. Which is the foundation of quality of life, is being alive to create and enjoy a quality of life. Mm-hmm. So that whole shitty outlook that things are not good anymore, they were good when we were around, I think is what he's kind of addressing now. There's always a new horizon. There's always a next generation, so to speak.
Yeah. I want to jump in and dispel like how great things were in the past, too. Because we also, a couple episodes ago, we waxed poetic about the pop culture of the 80s. I will always stand for that. But the 80s sucked. Reagan? Are you kidding me? And I hear a lot of my white friends who are like, I long for the freedom I had under Reagan. And I'm like, you long for when I was oppressed. Yep. Is all I hear when you say that, because the 80s is very akin. Even the clothes from the 80s were kind of bastardized 40s clothes and 50s. And the 50s, people love them some, because of happy days, but they love to be nostalgic. But I couldn't eat at the same restaurant as you in the 50s. So I don't long and long for those times like people do. And so I love this quote because it's not all over, right? Our adventure is just beginning. But each and every one of us, do any of us have children here? Scott?
Nope, I do not.
Right. None of us have a legacy, apparently. But if we had kids, like, then their adventure would be starting, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not just about, what I love about these quotes is Gene makes it so clear. It's not just about Gene Roddenberry. Mm-hmm. It's about this whole thing. This life, it's not just about me, Rachel. There's so much else going on around that to have, you know, to only view things from the prism of me, it would be very myopic. So it's an important statement for people, per this quote, to remember, like, no matter how far along we are, we're just at the beginning of something new. Mm-hmm. Trent, what about you, quote-wise?
This reminds me of a previous quote where Gene mentioned that not only is it not over, but not everything has been invented. So while we have all of these amazing technological advances that we benefit from now, Some of them were invented in sci-fi, on Star Trek in particular, and have come to reality, like in cell phones and iPads and that kind of thing. So this kind of always speaks to that idea that the human, like it's human nature to grow, to mature, to learn. And because everything hasn't been done yet, and because everything hasn't been invented, there's always going to be a new breakthrough in science. Or, you know, like people talk about, like, there's one topic that all pop songs are about. It's about love or loss, or love or hate. But why diversity of how you can sing that song is immeasurable. Like, yes, some songs do resonate and sound like earlier songs, maybe inspired or flat out ripped off. But the infinite combination of music notes, and however many there are, I'm not a musician, so it's like seven or eight or however many there are, can be done over and over and over again, making, you know, operas and punk rock and industrial, or, you know, straight saccharine pop music.
But, or even, Trent, the fact that we're sitting here podcasting, which is what kind of a radio play when you think about it, right? We've just gone back to the old-timey stuff, in a sense, other than we're streaming and we have all this modern equipment, but it's essentially what they were doing in the 30s and 40s.
Absolutely.
Either one of you, why do you think that he says, Gene Roddenberry says, and that's a very important statement for people?
I think he's trying to communicate that there is always another mountain you can climb, another horizon you can strive for. Mm-hmm. Just because you have put in your 40 years at your job and then you retire and you get the gold watch. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. That's the bigger speech. You get your gold watch. You don't have to sit around on your front step wondering, you know, why the kids don't respect you anymore. There's all of these. You can constantly go out and find something new, try something new. And I don't know if he could have seen what's coming with the internet now, but something I talked about in an earlier episode. You can be 65 and have retired from a job that you worked your whole adult life and then go hang your shingle and do something completely new. There are all of these avenues available to you. Like, I want to be an artist. I want to make stuff and put it on Etsy. Mm-hmm. I want to sell architectural drawings. Mm-hmm. I want to do watercolors. Like, you, there's all of these things. But if you get it in your head that now I'm retired, kids have flown the coop, I'm sitting at home, and that now I just sit here and wait to die, that is not you seeing that that new adventures are just beginning. So I feel like he was speaking more to people who had hit a rut in their life, or people who are at the end of their career looking at where to go from there.
I think it's why I encourage people to have interests, you know, and hobbies and things. Because as an actress of a certain age, right, stuff slowed down at the time it does for every woman at a certain age, except for maybe two. And what you had just said, Scott, would have scared the shit out of me if you'd said that to me in the 90s. I'm like, no, you would do one thing, right? But I've grown and matured enough to go, oh, okay, when I hit the 40s and they're like, women don't exist, I wrote a book. You know, I had other interests, is per what Scott was saying. And I didn't take it as an indictment of, I'm not being in a movie this second. I'm doing this. It's like, I'm an artist. I'm a creative person. So you don't have to be an artist to do that. You could be someone who's very into logic and math. And there's all these different avenues of taking that skill set you have and swinging it into either a hobby or a career even, you know. And I like that at any age, you know, because someone said to me recently on a lunch date, they said, well, you know, I know the biggest things I'm ever going to do are behind me. And I was like, well, yes and no. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, we'll never be 21 again and do a movie or a thing. But I don't think just because one isn't that age doesn't mean you can't have some great, huge, amazing thing. You know, Scott could write a book that blows away numbers wise, is already number one New York Times bestselling book.
And I can get fatigued with the style of stuff I'm writing now. And, you know, I can switch to any number of things. Mm-hmm. Now at this late stage, I'm writing more screenplays now to see if I can get into that.
I've always thought that he should be doing screenplays. But also, you've done a couple different young adult series too. What prompted you to do that, considering you don't have kids?
It was just looking at, I did a series called The Generations Trilogy, and the opening book is
Alive?
Is a alive, alight, and alone. And it was just, okay, I've told stories from the eyes of a male of a certain age a number of times. Now I want to try and get into some, you know, some hardcore sci-fi with coming from a different perspective and being able to tell tell a story with different set of advantages, different set of disadvantages. How does this young woman handle that? And that was a new beginning. That was a new challenge to try and like, okay, now I got to talk to a lot of people, do a lot of research. Here's how I would react to the situation. How would you five people react
because
to the situation?
Because it was written from a girl's point of view too.
Yeah.
So there's also that.
And I didn't want it to be like, I'm just a guy writing from a girl's point of view. I wanted to be like, let's make sure this resonates.
Yeah.
I had, so for that, for the hobby, not hobby side, but being able to talk to five, six, seven women I really respected, like go over this. What do I have right? What do I have wrong? But that was a new beginning, a whole new set of challenges. I was able to make something that I wouldn't have been able to make, you know, in my mid 20s.
Right. Right.
And this theme of the adventure is just beginning is something that Gene has infused in Star Trek stories. We hear them often in his quotes because it's so important for him that for us to learn this lesson. Like he says, this is a very important statement for people. This is a lesson that we need to learn. And like a very good teacher, he understands that you have to remind people, like when you hear something repetitively, it kind of sticks in your mind. And it's a message that was so near and dear to him that he felt compelled to drive this theme home as much as he could, because like I have mentioned previously, I do believe that he believed that the future that he envisioned, although it wouldn't be 100% exactly the way he envisioned it, I think he absolutely believed that humanity will get there. And that adventure is hundreds of years in the future. So between now and then, there will be new adventures happening and new scientific breakthroughs. And it's just a part of human evolution to grow and to break new ground.
I know what you just said, like, you know, there'll always be new inventions. Like, it's so like, yes, of course. But when I was a kid, I thought everything had been invented already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really did, though. And I think partially it had to do with my dad. Like, I would say, here's my picture, Dad. And he would go, oh, you're in that stage. I remember when I was. No, he would. And then so I just like, oh, okay. There's nothing I can do that will be da-da-da-da. But it's really, you know, good point to remind people.
Yeah, right? That reminds me of like when I studied about dinosaurs in elementary school and, you know, the Brontosaurus. I don't think the Brontosaurus exists anymore. Like
it's an Apatosaurus. Right. Everything is a different name,
like,
now.
Yeah. So science has evolved to the point where the Brontosaurus, what we thought it was, didn't actually exist. And now it's something else with a different name.
Wait, does
Pluto used to be a planet and now it's not.
It's still a planet. Does anyone remember the moment when they realized that science was all bullshit? No, it's not bullshit at all. But when science was theory, like, because I, as a kid, was like, no, this is facts and it is what it is. And that's
you read it in a textbook and you believe that that's this is the truth. The book tells me.
I got older and got really into string theory, and it's not even string theory anymore. It's something else.
No.
Squiggle theory. I don't know what now, but I just realized, oh, it's always going to keep morphing and changing.
Yep.
So per this quote, it's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that happens, it's a brand new beginning of what we think.
The big science bulwark that obviously I don't have the knowledge or capacity to understand this, but the absolute law, we can't exceed the speed of light. We'll take all the energy in the universe to exceed the speed of light. If I'm paraphrasing that, but I think I'm correct. But there's been so many things before that we thought were impossible, and leading up into, you know, without warp drive, what kind of a story can you tell with Star Trek?
Right.
And that's the kind of thing where that is impossible now, but will it always be impossible, or will we figure that out and go off to whole new adventures?
Scott, do you think, yes, by the way, but do you think it counts that these billionaires went, why do they get to say they went to space? They went to upper sky, as people on Twitter have pointed out. Do they actually get to, like, why do they get to say they went to space?
I don't know the rules and regulations of what involves space in the stratosphere, et cetera. But, you know, all I know is I'm jealous because I just hope I live long enough to go into space.
Would you have wanted to go up into upper sky, Scott?
I do not. Well, that's still better. That's still pretty close. Also, I'll wait until it becomes a regular thing that's regulated and safer, because I'm not quite adventurous enough. So you're like, I'll go first. That's me.
No. Interesting.
I want to come back.
Interestingly, yeah. Rachel, I think I remember reading earlier today that the FCC has decided to downgrade what the term an astronaut is so that these billionaires will not be able to say that they are astronauts.
That's what you get when you don't pay any taxes. See what you get to do?
There you go.
Anyway, I think, though, when I look at this quote, too, I wonder if... if Mr. Roddenberry said these things too, I mean, he believed them, but maybe he said so many similar statements because he was like, today people suck, so I'm going to try to be positive and I'm going to think something positive about them that is not all over. It's the beginning. And I mean, because he must have had some human thoughts. And
yes,
I mean,
of
all
course.
All these thoughts are human.
When was he born? When was he? So it's a... I guess today, he's born in 1920.
Oh, I thought it was the 30s, right? But it was, right.
Yeah. 1921.
So he got to be a child through World War II and see all of the reconstruction. So, you know, he got to live the life of someone who's looking at the possible collapse of civilization and the world falling apart and millions dying and the horrors of the Holocaust. And he got to see all of these things and then got to watch the world rebound from it. And you have to think that gave a lot of people a particular perspective of, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn and the sun always rises again, to see humanity in that incredibly dismal state and then rally and come back up. And if you follow kind of the optimism of our American culture and our economy coming out of that, when it starts to hit the 60s and the 70s, things had changed dramatically. So maybe that's where he's coming
from. You make such a good point, because if you do live through a world war, you're going to come out of it. See, I would probably be more cynical. Like,
I think that would break my spirit too.
Yeah, and to think, like, I feel like it would break me to know you're herding up Jews, and then you're going to let in the top 2% that you think you can benefit from, and you're not going to help our country let in a lot of high powered Jewish scientists and things like that. I don't know about a lot is the right word, but you know, didn't help a lot of other people along the way as far as that situation.
Right.
So it's tricky, and it would have made me more cynical. And I think that's why I've enjoyed doing this podcast, to be honest, is I you know, I'm a cynical optimist, and it's tilting me slightly more towards the optimistic kind of.
Yeah.
Slightly. 51%.
That's great.
I think that speaks again to my point about Gene being like a very good teacher, you know, like he is imparting his wisdom even to us to this day. Like, you know, it's like, 30 some years without him already. But here we are, and we're all still learning. I know for sure I'm still learning from his words and from the legacy that he left us with the Star Trek franchise.
I'm really appreciative of figures like this, to be honest, because again, as I get a little older too, I kind of see why some of my, you know, crabby aunts would be so down on society or whatever, because they were Black women who'd been through X, Y, and Z, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
As a child, I didn't get it, but as a grown woman now, I really do. But it's great to have reminders like this that just because we had a Trump or whatever, and in fact, I would argue, which I did not want that, obviously, but it was a watershed moment, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that terrible thing, that divorce, that breakup, that what Lou lost your job thing you go through that you think you'll never recover from, and yet you rise stronger.
Yes.
You realize years later that, like, if I hadn't gone through that breakup, that tragedy, I would not be who I am. As this quote says, it's not all over. The adventure is just beginning. So if we vote in our elections, in our local elections, we can help form the new beginning, you know?
Yeah.
This has been very fun and revelatory in a few different ways. You know, I feel like you guys snuck that quote in there about letting other people take over the property intentionally. Like, I don't know who this whippersnapper thinks he is, but we're going to give him some business on the side. From strictly the entertainment perspective only, massively successful individual from the cultural standpoint and being able to bring in new voices, bring in new faces in an era when that simply wasn't happening, and provide for a lot of firsts, and then continue to set the machinery in place to keep this machine rolling many, many decades after he's already passed, many decades after the original show. It's humbling and it's awesome. So I've really enjoyed being on this this cast. Been nice to get to know you guys a little bit better. And thank you for having me on.
Oh, Scott, tell the people where they can find you, because Scott does a terrific podcast with his partner and wife. And then he's got the books that I've mentioned. But tell them where they can find your podcast.
Most of the information is at scottsigler.com.
Love it. It has been such a pleasure getting to know you this week and getting to have these discussions with you. So we thank you very, very much for giving us your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank the whole team. I appreciate it very much.
And if you would like to watch a video of today's quote being read, you could check it out on our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we hope you'll join us again tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.